Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, we have a special guest in the studio to tell us more about some of the beautiful shows that our rose bushes are starting to give us here across the region. We have seen a lot of really beautiful blooms already across the region, and maybe people have some successful or unsuccessful roses growing in their yards. But Mark Benitez, Master Gardener and Rose Committee Co-Chair, is here with us to tell us more about what's growing in El Paso, specifically at the Municipal Rose Garden. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you, Norma, and thank you, Denise.
Well, the Municipal Rose Garden, we need to let people know, is off at the corner of Copia and Aurora. And you guys must be really excited because there's going to be a public tour of the Rose Garden. I know the Master Gardeners have been really hard at work pruning throughout the winter and doing all sorts of maintenance to get the Rose Garden ready for the public.
Yes, the Master Gardeners have put in close to 800 volunteer hours
Wow.
at the Rose Garden just on pruning, and now they're actually being able to look at the fruits of their labor. It's definitely a windy time in El Paso,
yeah.
But because we had such a mild winter, these roses are reaching a peak bloom period. As you know, after the winds die down, it gets very hot really quick, and then our rose blooms kind of decline out there in the garden, then bounce back again in the fall. So right now is really that time to zero in, to see these plants in their peak performance, learn more about roses, or if you have roses in your garden and you're having some trouble, Master Gardeners will be giving tours of the garden itself, and then as well as having an educational booth there to answer any kinds of questions.
Well, we'll mention this again at the end of the show, but Mark, let us know when that public tour is going to be.
It's going to be April the 19th, and it'll be from 12 to 3, and we'll have a core group of Master Gardeners that will be there to assist in the touring of the garden. And we will also have an educational booth. We'll have some information that will show, you know, what the garden is all about, some of the types of bushes that we have, and some of the techniques, and in terms of maintaining the bushes and keeping them healthy. And so that'll be the educational component of it. But we're actually very excited about inviting the public to come out and take a look at this beautiful garden.
Well, we need to point out there are so many different varieties of types of roses. It's not just a rose, isn't just a rose, I suppose, but there are a lot of varieties. And Mark, give us sort of an idea of what maybe the public will find if they go visit the Rose Garden on April the 29th.
Well, we have a little over 1,350 rose bushes.
Wow.
At the garden. And they vary from the different types of floribundas, hybrid teas, grandifloras. We have climbers. We have miniatures. We have shrub and landscape types. More recently, we've added the earth kind, which have done fairly well here in this area. But the newest stock is Fortiana rootstock. It's a rootstock from Florida. And we planted those last year, and they did exceptionally well in the garden.
So give us an idea of what that might look like.
Well, the Fortuniana is just a rootstock, so you'll never see the flowers of a Fortuniana rose because they're not that pretty. They're not bred for the flowers themselves. They're really bred for that root system. So what they'll do is they'll grow this rootstock and then graft on a top to a really showy rose. Mm-hmm. So they're grafted roses. And that's a lot how kind of like we have pecan trees that have mm-hmm. the same issue with that, where we graft them on there. And that's so that you can balance the roots and the shoots to be kind of compatible with certain climate conditions. Mm-hmm. Which also makes a really good point when you're actually looking at plants, and if you have a friend that has a rose plant, if it's a grafted plant, you shouldn't take cuttings of that, because more than likely then you're not going to get, if you're not going to do that graft, then you're not going to get the same rose. So the rootstock that Mark's talking about is a really great rootstock if you're going to go for a grafted roses. The difference with that and our other kind of roses, like our earth kind roses, those are grown actually in their own roots. So there is a difference on that. And it's just because roses can be a little temperamental, if you will, and they're almost kind of finicky on their location
mm-hmm. yes.
and what you pick. So I know you all put these Fortuniana roses in last year.
Yes, we did. And you know, like I said, El Paso soils vary from clay in the valley to sandy on the east side. And so, these roses did exceptionally well. So we're kind of excited. They're not offered locally here in the nurseries, but can be purchased online if you want to try them. So.
Yeah. And I think the really great thing about roses is, you know, you think living here in the desert, especially perhaps you're a newcomer to El Paso, you come from some other greener climes, and you don't think that you can actually plant something pretty. You have to plant a cactus or a succulent or something. But if you just drive around anywhere, El Paso, you're going to find some really beautiful displays of rose bushes. And
yes,
roses do exceptionally well here, and it's probably because of our dry conditions?
Yeah, you know what? Because it is really with a low humidity on here, we don't have issues with fungus like a lot of other places in the country do. Even though it's a little bit too late now to actually prune your roses, you'll actually see some of the techniques that the master gardeners have done to be able to kind of open up those rose bushes and allow for that air to kind of flow in between the branches. That really helps cut down any kind of fungus that may attack plants. Unfortunately, we cannot escape the insect issues.
Aphids.
Yeah. So tell us, you were saying before the show that you've already encountered some pest issues in the garden.
They came early this year, and normally we'll see this like in May, sometimes early June, but this year we were really surprised to find them already on the leaves. And of course, it was a very mild winter, so I guess some of them did survive. We did find out a formula last year that one of our master gardeners inquired and shared with us, and it's a formula of aspirin and water, and you know, pouring it over the leaf. And it really helps. There's some other, you know, homegrown types of formulas out there, but this really helped. And so that was just one thing that we did find, but the aphids have been a challenge already.
And the aphids are those little soft green insects that love to live on the underside of the leaves. And there's a lot of other different chemicals that you can put on there. There's a systemic insecticide. It's the active ingredient imidacloprid. If you look at that, that's something where you took like a soil drench on your rose bushes. And what happens is that chemical is actually taken up by the roots and then transported through the plant system. So when that insect, in this case an aphid, goes to suck on the leaves, that's where the poison is at. And so that's going to give you a long-term coverage over the aphids. In some cases, some formulations give you up to 14 weeks of coverage. Mm. So that's a really one application, and you really get a long way with that because you will have to be scouting for insects just like the master gardeners do every time that they're at the rose garden. Another insect out there are spider mites. Spider mites kind of look a little bit different than aphids, and they have this overall webby look to them if you're out there. They also like Italian cypress.
Yeah, see, that's what I would have associated them more with.
Yes.
I don't think I would have associated a spider mite with a rose.
The challenge with having the spider mites is, you know, like I said, they love the evergreen. But once, you know, if you don't take care of the evergreen, then they'll start spreading. And that's what we saw last year. They weren't much of a challenge this year as last year. You know, last year was much dustier. This year we've gotten just a little rain. It was enough to just kind of keep them in check. But Denise is right. You know, they can be a challenge. And so you just have to stay on top of it.
So is that simple formula of just sort of washing them off with a water hose a good way to get rid of those?
That is probably the most effective way to do that. Because to find a miticide is very difficult for a home gardener. And if you do have a licensed pesticide application, it's also very expensive if you do come across a miticide. So definitely we always look for that non-chemical approach first of all, and then use our chemicals at the very last resort.
And you just want to make sure that when you do wash the tree down, you have to have pressure. It has to be pressurized because that's the only way. I mean, if you just put a gentle spring, it doesn't affect
you them. Might blow off a few petals, right?
But not enough.
But ultimate sacrifice, I think, is acceptable.
Right.
I think the same goes for aphids, right? You can also just
you can wash them off.
Spray of water, Do they die once they wash off, or can they just sort of crawl right back up?
No, they'll crawl right back up, and then they're such an interesting insect. Like, we got to talk about it at our future insect show.
Okay.
They are really interesting with all these different generations living on a leaf at one time.
Sure.
So that's definitely an issue with that. I think one of the best thing for people that maybe are kind of hesitant about growing roses, I know that for me, a winner is going to be the fragrance. That mm-hmm. to me has to be like one of the top characteristics that I'm looking for in a rose. I absolutely love the Don Juan rose. It's a climber rose. And when you all are out there, you want to make sure that you ask Mark about where that one is. It has the most beautiful, deep color rose. It's like almost a blood red. And it's so beautiful, Norma. And it's a climber. So, like, you can train it to go over an arbor. So, no matter how great catalogs you have or internet access.
You can't smell it.
Exactly.
There's no smell-o-vision.
Exactly.
Well, there is another one out there. It's red. It's called the Cascade. And it has a beautiful aroma. It's on the newer part of the upper tier of the garden. And last year we pointed that out to a lot of people, and they were amazed at its fragrance. But Denise is right, the Don Juan. And we have several out there. The Wild Blue Yonder is another beautiful smelling rose.
What's your personal favorite there at Rose Garden?
There is a rose that we found a couple of years ago that really has captured the hearts of a lot of the master gardeners. It's called Angel Face, and it's at the very end of the new section. And it's a beautiful rose. It's kind of a mauve, dark color. But it's got the face of an angel. they named it appropriately. It's a beautiful rose, a beautiful petal configuration, and it's really captured the hearts of a lot of people when they go out there and see it.
Well, we only have a couple of minutes left, but just really quickly, I'm sure there are a lot of rose owners out there who are wondering about fertilizing. And fertilizing is always a big question when it comes to any plant here at El Paso. So what would you say would be an ideal time or an ideal formula for people to fertilize their roses?
You know, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium are what you need to feed the roses. And it just depends on your soil configuration. But, you know, a 10, 20, and 5 is the most common. But then you just have to really understand your soil configuration. Because as Denise has shared with us, you know, we do have different mixes in this county of ours. And so you just have to really be knowledgeable of what you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest challenge to homeowners who try to grow roses because they really, you know, it starts with the soil.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, with roses, we don't want to put in all of our energy as far as fertilizer in the nitrogen, which is that first number mm-hmm. in our little configuration of fertilizer, because we'll have beautiful green flowers and then we won't promote any kind of blooms. So that's where that balance comes in, where you want to make sure that you have those different parts of fertilizer composition on there, and definitely want to start fertilizing those when they start leafing out and towards the middle of the season, give them another boost, because they are heavy feeders, mm-hmm. which means that they are going to grow mm-hmm. rapidly because they're putting a lot of energy into putting out those new buds and those flowers.
Well, we're out of time, and I'm sure a lot of listeners have already questions spinning in their mind about roses. So we invite you to go to the Rose Garden public tour happening on Saturday, April the 19th from noon to 3 p.m. at the Municipal Rose Garden. It's centrally located at the corner of Copia at Aurora. Everybody's invited to attend. It's free. Our guest, Mark Benitez, will be there. Mark is a master gardener and a Rose Committee co-chair. We want to thank you so much for coming to Good to Grow today.
It's my pleasure, Norma, and thank you very much.
Well, I'm Norma Martinez. We want to thank you so much for listening today.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.